And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for those who came out tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you were in total, full, and complete control of all things that happen in every service, in every circumstance in our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces, as we go out on the street to minister. And Father, we just thank you for your angelic hosts that are here tonight ministering to the people. We thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit who dwells richly with inside each and every one of us. And Father God, I just ask that the Holy Spirit become very much alive within us tonight, and that he jump and dance and just bring us to a place of security in you, that no one can steal that security. And Father, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God entitled it with arms wide open. Let's look at Luke 15, verse 17. Jesus said, but he was telling a parable. Jesus said, but when he came to himself, he said, you know, this is the prodigal. Yeah, you know, that's what it's talking about, the prodigal here. But when the prodigal came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. See, God didn't hesitate at all. He didn't say, well, why did you do this? Why did you do that? He said, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Bring the best robe. And bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. And this is how we have to be with our prodigals. We all have family members, you know, that aren't walking with God. And, you know, whenever we see them, when they come to us and say, I'm really sorry, and they repent, you've got to be just like Jesus. You have to have your arms wide open, and you have to receive them. Even if they're not fully repent of you, if they're just starting to repent, starting to realize what's going on in their life, we have to open our arms wide and receive them with love and encourage them to keep growing in God. But we don't do that. All right, unconditional love. God said, I am extending my arms of unconditional love to all this day. I am saying, come into my open arms and receive all that is in my heart for each one of you individually. Tonight, God said, I'm extending my arms of unconditional love. He loves us no matter what we do. To all this day, to each and every one sitting in this room. I am saying, come into my open arms and receive all that is in my heart for each one of you individually. For you see, each of my children are unique, and each has different gifts, so you will all receive something unique and very different as you run into my everlasting arms. Do not want what I have. Do not want what your neighbor has. Only want what God has given you, and let him increase that gifting that's in you. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you and said, destroy. God has everlasting arms that will gather you to himself, and he will hold you tight and will not allow the enemy to destroy you. I didn't say he would keep you out of warfare. I said he will not allow the enemy to destroy you. God said, I am that I am, and I am on the move even as I speak this moment, and I am not going into reverse ever again, for the works need to be accomplished at this very moment. There is so much to be accomplished and so little time to accomplish everything. Now he says, I'm on the move, and I'm not going into reverse ever again. And what I said, God, what do you mean by that? He said, I've stopped, went back, and picked them up when they fell, and brought them forward more than one time. And he said he's not going to do that ever again. He's picked you up for the last time. He expects you to be full grown in him, and he expects you to go forward and quit going backward. When I told you have to teach your kids to walk forward and not backwards, God said, that's how my children do. They back up to their sin thinking, I don't see they're going backwards. Amen. Isn't that the truth? We think, oh, well, we'll just sort of sneak around here and God won't notice. He'll think we're still going forward, but you're not. God said the move is on and it is not going to slow down. In fact, it's going to go into overdrive and you will have no time to think, should I or should I not? For I have come after a bride that is willing to go forth at all cost. Is that you? And surrender herself over to me totally and completely and willing to go all the way, never questioning what I say, but always saying, more, Lord. And no matter what you're going through, more, Lord. Not of the suffering, but more of you, Lord, so I can overcome all this junk in my life. More of you. More of what you say. More of my awesome presence that will carry you through any storm you encounter on your trip with me in this dispensation of time. I got ahead of myself, didn't I? All right, God said, more of what you say, more of my awesome presence that will carry you through any storm you encounter on your trip with me in this dispensation of time. You know, guys, this song that we sing at the very end, I wish you would go home and play that thing until you know it by heart. That song will tear down every wall of division. That song will break everything that's in your home. It'll break it. There's so much anointing in that song, and the reason why is because God gave that song to raise that little boy up off of that deathbed. And so because he used that song to raise that boy up off the deathbed, that song is anointed to raise your home up off the deathbed. You see what I'm saying here? There's an anointing to do a specific work in that song. God said, this is truly glory, hallelujah time for all my children. You will hear shouts of hallelujah every place you go. I wished I heard it in here. That group of people went outside and I heard and sang outside the churches. I think that's awesome. We go out and say, oh, well, where are we going to go to eat? But they went out there and stood out there and sang for the glory of the Lord. Amen? Let's get out here before the traffic gets too heavy. We don't do it right at all, do we? Come on. Shout it loud and clear. Make sure all hell hears your shouts of hallelujah. For it is those shouts of hallelujah that will tear down the kingdom of darkness and set the captives free. Come on. Do you know how many times I have to lay in bed at night and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Just to make it through the night. Because I know if I didn't, I wouldn't get up the next morning. But I get open my eyes in the morning and there's daylight. And I'm ready to go again. If I laid there and I moaned and I groaned and I complained and I went into depression, I would not be sitting here today. Do you understand this? Come on, guys. You don't praise God enough. You don't stop in the middle of your storm and start shouting hallelujah. You don't start saying, devil, you're a liar. Get behind me. You don't tell him he's under your feet. He's not on your head. You just keep right on drudging through your storm. You don't battle when you're going in the storm. You let the storm take you out. And that's not what God wants us to do. I'm hearing him say, I never intended you to ever lose any storm. But we know the body of Christ has lost many, many storms, don't we? And see, God never meant that to happen. And God said, if you could only see into my kingdom realm and see what we see, you would not for one second hesitate to do my perfect works in the lives of the lost and dying souls. Why don't we just all say, God, I do this all the time. Why? Let me see what you see, Lord. You know, I work for souls and everything, but I would like to see what heaven sees. I would like to see them up there and just watch what they do. You can take me up there and let me walk around like you do a lot of other people, but just let me see. Come on. Now, if I wasn't out there working for lost souls, I wouldn't even pray that because I don't think God would do that for me. But because I am, I think I have the right to say, God, I want to see into the heavenly realm. I want to walk up into glory like others have walked. And the day I do, you'll hear the raptors in her rattle because you'll hear me everywhere. Amen? Come on. Then God said, children, 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 shout praises of victory. Shout to the tops of your lungs and let all of hell hear your shouts of praise and victory. Shout, children, shout, children, shout, children. Shout until the walls fall down. Shout until you see all hell tremble. Shout, shout, shout. I hear a lot of shouting, but what it is anger. You're not shouting at the enemy. You're shouting at your spouse or your children, you know, or at your workplace or whatever. And see, now that's right. You're supposed to be shouting victory. See, aren't you glad you live alone? You shout all you want to in your home and nobody would bother you, right? Come on. If I shout in my home, everybody runs and say, are you all right? I'm fine. Get back out. I'm just going to shout a while. That's what I do. Amen. You just leave me alone. I'm going to shout a while. All right. God said, we are on a victory roll, little ones, and the enemy is furious. Now see what God says. We are on a victory roll. Now you have to believe that, little ones. And the enemy is furious that you have connected to the heavenly throne and you are secure in me and you are in no wise going to back down. This is what God thinks about you tonight. What do you think about yourself? Thank you. He said, we are on a victory roll, little ones, and the enemy is furious that you have connected to the heavenly throne and you are secure in me and you are in no wise going to back down. Since Barbara said that, you know, if houses aren't selling, she should be selling houses right and left because she's a child of God and shouting the victory. That sells mine. That sells mine. That sells mine. Devil, that sells mine. You see what I'm saying? That's why we don't have the victory, because we say, oh my, sales are down. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not saying she does that. I'm just using that as an excuse. You see what I'm saying? Oh, everybody, my job site's against me, and I don't know what I'm going to do. They don't understand me. They never will understand you. So what's your problem? Why are you trying to make them understand you? They will not understand you. And so shouting at them or getting angry at them or going in the corner and sulking isn't going to help anything. You just need to quietly shout the victory to yourself. Devil, you just lost another round. Because I'm on a victory roll. All right, God said, the enemy knew this day and hour was coming. And he was throwing all of hell at you to stop this hour of total victory. You see what he said? The enemy knew this day and hour was coming. God's been trying to tell us that. And he was throwing all of hell at you to stop this hour of total victory. But there was not enough in hell to stop this mighty army I have prepared for such a time as this. Are you that army? God said there was not enough in hell to stop this mighty army I prepared for such a time as this. Come on. I don't care what you're going through. You've already won. The victory's already yours. Are you hearing me here tonight? Then God said, scoop up the spoils of victory and parade them before the enemy. See how many houses I sold today, devil? I'm going to sell twice as many tomorrow. You know, just show him a big picture and show him, stick it in his nose. Amen. Come on. See how many books I sold today, devil? Well, tomorrow it's going to be double sell. Stick it in his face. Come on. I didn't lose my temper today, devil. You lost. And tomorrow I'm going to be better than I was today. Throw it in his face. All right, God said, scoop up the spoils of victory and parade them before the enemy. Allow him to see what it has cost him to tamper with an anointed child of God. See that? Allow him to smell your sweet aroma of victory over him. And how he is howling over his defeat. You know, he looks at you, he comes to you like he's just some big bad guy. He is just absolutely nothing. I'm going to get ahead of myself here. God said, run, children, run to the victory march. March around the walls of Jericho and watch them fall down. March, children, march around those walls of Jericho and cause them to fall to the ground. You are the victorious ones. You are the ones that are cutting the giants' heads off and parading them through the corridors of hell for all of hell to see. Or if your finances are messed up, you just say to the devil, see, here's $1,000 check and I'm going to pay my bills. Write a check out. And show it to the devil. Don't send it out. But show the devil that you are not defeated, that you're believing with everything in your heart that the money is in the bank to pay your bills. Amen. God said, you have broken the ground and the ground will yield up those lost souls and you shall see the mighty harvest being brought into my houses and you will hear the rooftops rumble as the praises arise to the throne of heaven. You will hear the rooftops rumble as the praises of arise to the throne of heaven. Victory march. God said, march the victory march for all to see. Do your little dance and then dance like David danced. You know, a little stand there, tiptoe one foot after another, but then Barbara would jump forward and jump backward and bend over. I want to see her really dance before the Lord. I said, God, slap her feet really hard. Amen. She's trying really hard to dance in the spirit. Go ahead and get her. Then he said, do your little dance and then dance like David danced. Dance all over the enemy's head. Give him more than a headache. Dance his head off of his shoulders and defeat him on all sides. Never, ever again bow your knee to this coward. And that is all he is, just a coward with no teeth, a coward that was defeated once and for all and kicked out of heaven. He is a bully of all bullies, and he knows he has no power, and he is trying to make you believe he is the king, but in total reality, he is absolutely nothing but a toothless serpent crawling on his belly to his eternal destination. Hallelujah! Come on! Well, that was from God. I told you to do that. Come on. This is what we have to let the devil know. He's defeated. Well, that sounded a little weak. Sing a little louder. There you go. See? These two really mean it. They've been on the street yesterday. They were in the trailer park, and they got some souls saved, and people were healed, and they're excited. But what are you going to do when there's no souls being saved and nobody being healed? Are you still going to be excited? Yes, they will. But I'm just asking everybody that. Are you only going to get excited when things are going your way? Or are you going to be excited no matter what's going your way? Amen. You know, God told me a while back, daughter, your body's healed, to make your body line up with my word. And so whenever the devil's trying to tell me I won't make it through the night, I said, you're a liar devil. That God told me my body was healed. My body is lining up with the word of God, and you can just leave in the name of Jesus. Then I can breathe again. You know, and then the pain goes away. But if I would lay there and receive what he was giving me, he'd kill me. Are you understanding this? Come on. There's nothing wrong with me saying that. I'm showing you that you can defeat. I shouldn't even be sitting here today with this, with what he's throwing at my body. But I know what my God said, and I know I have a work to do, and I do shout hallelujah. Come on. And you get a hangnail. You get your trash can dropped in your big toe, and you won't even come to church. Get a hangnail, you know. Say, oh, I got to stay home today. I got a pain. My hangnail hurts. See, that's not victory. That's not showing the devil who's the boss. That isn't, is it? Well, if I go to work today, they're going to be talking about me, and I'm probably going to get in a fuss with them, so I guess I'll stay home. Come on. All right, devil, I'm up, and I'm ready, and I'm in for the fight, so I'm going. I'm going. And you're already defeated. I already have the victory. Are you understanding this? God wants you to have the victory. All right, God went on to say, he told us what the devil was not. He's nothing. Then he said, you, on the other hand, as you learn to praise me with your hallelujahs, you will rise up above all the smoke and stench of hell, and you will ride on angel wings, and you will bring in the captives, and you will harvest soul after soul out of the abyss, and you shall see total submission to the King of Kings, and you shall hear and see such a commotion of exuberant joy that you will wonder why you ever allowed the enemy to take you down. Since I read that all real quick, now we're going to go back and read it again. This is very important we get a hold of this night, because we are in victory. God's getting ready to move us, and if you can't walk in victory, you're going to be sitting here. All right? You, on the other hand, God said, as you learn to praise me with your hallelujahs, you will rise up above all the smoke and stench of hell. And you will ride on angel wings, and you will bring in the captives, and I didn't notice all these wheels were in here. And you will harvest soul after soul out of the abyss. And you shall, there's a shall now. You shall see total submission to the King of Kings. And you shall hear and see such a commotion of exuberant joy that you will wonder why you ever allowed the enemy to take you down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Aren't you ashamed of yourself? I am. Of all the times you allowed the enemy to stick your head between your legs and you know, cower before him. The whole hell had a party every time he did that to one of us. especially us who are anointed of God, set under the anointing of God, and we know God and his power, and we allow the devil to make us believe that he has razor-sharp teeth. Come on. Why do you think the devil showed himself here this morning? Why do you think the devil was trying to come out of people? It's the anointing of God. And if there was no anointing and the devil was so powerful, that would have never happened. I pray really hard at night when I wake up, God, you're in control of that service. No devil in hell is going to come and sit in our service anymore. I've tolerated him as much as I'm going to tolerate him. And I'm finished with him. And I'm finished with Jezebel's daughter, who, Delilah or whatever. No, not what is Nathalia. I'm tired of her too. And so we're just going to go on and we're going to have total victory. Amen. Amen. So I said, see, God said, rejoice, dance, and shout the victory. For the end is near and the enemy is surely defeated in every area of your lives. Run, children, run into my open arms and allow me to embrace you and fill you to overflowing with all of my attributes, and then take those attributes to the lost and dying world and watch the darkness be turned into light of the kingdom of heaven. First of all, we have to run into his arms. We have to allow him to embrace us. We have to allow him to overflow us with his attributes. Then we take those attributes to the lost and the dying world, and then we watch the darkness be turned into light. See, there's a progression we have to follow here, and we don't do that. We want to just skip all this other stuff and just jump into the darkness and say, I'm a light. No, you're not. You're one of those Zippo lighters that doesn't light. Hey, come on. Are you a true light? You have to ask yourself, am I a true light? Am I really a true light? I believe I'm a true light. Do you believe you're a true light? Then let the devil know that. I tell the devil, I am a light in this darkness, and my light will dispel this darkness. You have no authority here. And I'm watching him lose ground little by little by little by little, because I'm standing my ground in victory, and he has to flee. Amen? Come on. God said, I am alive, and I live forevermore, and I want that same life to be placed with inside each one of you this night. God said, I am alive and I live forevermore, and I want that same life to be placed within each one of you this night. This living light will shine so bright that all will know when you enter a room. I'm just so anxious for this to happen to you guys, because that's awesome. When you enter a room and somebody said, who is that? And everything stops and everybody turns around and looks at you. Oh, that's just a carpenter's son. That's the Jesus in you. He's nothing, but he's pure light. Are you understanding this? They will say that about you. If you really walk the victory walk, and if you're really immersed in God, when you walk in the room, heads will turn. Amen. All right, let's read that again. I'm alive and I live forevermore, and I want that same life to be placed inside each one of you this night. This living light will shine so bright that all will know when you enter a room. They will feel the very existence of myself flowing out from each of you. You know, as God was speaking this, and I was thinking about, you know, how these things have happened to me. When I walked in the room, people would look and say, who is that? See, the things that you are, it's going on in your life now that you're experiencing is for the world to see. It's so God's light can shine through you, and the world will see Jesus in you. They know what you used to be, and now they see what you are today, and they're going to want that Jesus that you're carrying and that you're showing everybody. God said, this is a dispensation of time when all signs, wonders, and miracles shall occur wherever you place your feet. Now, do you believe that tonight? I believe with every fiber of my being, and every time we meet in here, God is doing signs, wonders, and miracles. I believe with every fiber of my being, every time we meet, that God is going to show up and do a great and mighty works. And I believe every time you go out in the Spirit, God is doing something to you, even though you don't know what it is. And you know, and I hear all these people tell of all the experiences they had and what they see and everything else. And all the years I've ever gone out in the Spirit, I don't know where I went. I don't know what happened. I just know I went down, and a couple hours later I got up. And I don't know where I went or what I did. Doesn't matter. I know my life was changed, and I know where I'm at today. So see, every time you come to this altar in faith, God touches you, and God does a different works in you. Instead of your kids sitting back there looking at the walls, and I'm not talking about Catherine's children because they come to the altar. I'm talking about the rest of you kids that sit back there with your long face and everything else. If you would just come up, let the hand of God touch you, your life would start changing. Amen. Same with grown-ups. God said, remember, you are holy as I am holy, and every place you place your feet becomes holy ground. Now, can you really say that with all honesty and purity of heart? I am holy, so every place I walk, that place becomes holy ground. God told me that years ago in my ministry as a daughter. Your feet are holy, and every place you walk becomes holy ground, and never forget that. And one time I was upset with myself, thinking I had done something I shouldn't have done, and I said, God, I no longer make holy ground. He said, yes, you do. You have not sinned. The devil's trying to make you think you're not worthy. I told you, every place you place your feet becomes holy ground. So you have to understand that the devil will try to make you think you're not worthy to walk a holy walk. And you are worthy, and you can tell the devil to get out. If he's all that, then how come he got kicked out of heaven? And how come he's not winning the war here on earth either? It might look like he is, and he might be taking a lot of people to the abyss, but in the end, we know where he's going to end up. He loses a battle. All right? God said, rise up from the dust of this earth and come up hither and receive all of me. Rise up from the dust of this earth and come up hither and receive all of me. God said, my arms are wide open. They're open wide. And I am waiting to embrace your faith. I thought that was neat. I am waiting to embrace your faith. And I'm ready to send you forth totally equipped with myself into a dark, dense world. You see this? He's not embracing you. He's embracing your faith. And he wants to equip you. God said, you will go forth, children, with arms wide open, and you will pour out all the love and compassion of heaven. Your arms will hold all of my love, and as you wrap your arms around the hurting, lost, and dying world, you will see love come alive, and you will see much rejoicing and dancing within my churches. This is why I send some of you, like if it's a woman to a woman or a man to a man, I said, go embrace them. I want them to feel the love of God that's in you as you pour and you pour it out into them. And once they feel that love of God, something inside of them changes. It breaks. And I'm very careful of who I send to do that because I don't want your perversion put onto them. I want the love of God poured into them. I want them to know what it is when God embraces you. And you know, when God holds your hand or whatever he's doing. I want that person that can't receive from God like that one did today. They could not receive. And I said, go and hug them. I want them to feel the love of God. And that'll open a door. Then God, that's a seed. And then God will continue to work with that open door. Are you understanding what God is saying here? I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. If you love God, then you're a child of God, and God is speaking to you tonight. And he wants you to be so full of him and so changed that you won't even know your own self. Have you ever said to yourself, I don't know myself anymore? I mean, in a good way. I don't know myself anymore because this is not me. This is not how I do things. Now, see, with me, I say that about myself because it's a bad thing. because I know what I am, but then I know what I become sometimes when I get angry. And I don't like that person at all. I know it's righteous anger, but I still don't like that person. Are you understanding this? God said, will you please open your arms wide? Is that where we're at? Will you please receive all of me this night? Will you please, see, he pleads with you. Will you please allow me to step into your open arms and pour myself into you and your arms? He wants you to pour himself into you and into your arms. He wants your arms filled full of the love of God. Why? So you can embrace this unlovable world. Are you here now? You know, I brought somebody in off the street in my home, and they were really messed up. But I'm watching this person unfold day by day. And I don't know what happened the other day, but I said, you know, you're my son. Don't ever forget that. And I love you. And that person ran to me and hugged me, crying. He said, I know you love me, and thank you for calling me your son. He said, you don't know what that does for me. Yeah, I do. It's the love of God, and it's embracing him, and it's building him up. See, he never cared about himself. He just thought he was a worthless, no good bum, and he never thought he'd get anywhere in the world. But as I continue to show him love, I chastise him. But I always say, now, I love you, and that's why I'm saying this. And even then, he'll grab me and hug me and say, I know you love me, and I'm glad you are chastising me. It's always in love. Are you understanding this, guys? You know, he's never been taught love. He doesn't know love. In fact, he's just now learning how to love. And he said, love hurts. He said, when you open up your heart for love, it hurts. And I was talking to him the other day, and he was crying. I said, I know. But that's what we have to do if we want God in there. And that's what we have to do, is open up our hearts to be hurt. He said, but I don't like that. But he's learning. He's learning to like it. He's learning that love is really a precious commodity. And he just really loves love. Are you understanding this? Why did God send this really unlovable person into my home? Because he knew I would love them unconditionally. And he knew that I wouldn't kick them out the first time it did something wrong. In fact, he's moved himself out about 5 times. If you ever pack them bags again, I'm going to burn all your clothes. You won't have anything to pack. If God wanted you out here, he'd kick you out. You're not to leave this house again. But I never told him he had to leave. One time he did something, and he told somebody in the house, he said, I'm afraid my mom's going to make me leave. And they come and told me, and I went and I said, I'm not making you leave. I told you I love you, and this is your home, and you're my son, and you're going to stay right here with me. He sat and cried like a baby. He said, nobody's ever loved me like that before. Guys, you see this? You've received so much from God. You receive so much love from God. Why can't you give it out? What is there in you that keeps that love bottled up inside of you? Why can't you give it out? This is why husbands and wives don't make it, because we bottle up the love. We don't want to be hurt. So we bottle that love up, and we don't show love. And God wants us to unbottle that love, and he wants us to show that love to a lost and a dying world. Your lost and dying world might be your husband or your wife. Your lost and dying world might be your children or a co-worker. But he wants you to show them love at all costs. I told you a story about whenever I worked at the college, and we had registration one night, and the girls always sat and made fun of me, and don't ask me why. But and one night I had just really had enough of it, and I, you know, got off my chair, and I went, was going to go to the bathroom, and I was crying, and one of the girls ran after me, and she said, Barbara, please come back, we love you. And I said, don't you touch me. I was really mad. And she didn't listen to me. She grabbed me and hugged me and would let go of me. And she kept saying, we're so sorry, we do love you. And she held on to me until I broke and cried, and then I accepted that. But if she wouldn't have done that, the barrier would have been up. But she held on to me, would not let me go until I broke and said, all right, I believe you and I trust you. They never, ever made fun of me again. And I don't know, I really believe it was the devil in them fighting the Spirit of God in me, because I never did anything wrong to them. But you see, God moved on the one who did have some church in her to come after me so that I wouldn't grow bitter in that thing. You understanding this? God said, I am waiting. Well, let's go up there. Will you please open your arms wide? He's asking you this. Will you please receive all of me this night? Will you please allow me to step into your open arms and pour myself into you and your arms. Why? So you can embrace this unlovable world. I am waiting with open arms to receive you with all my fullness. Will you come and spread your arms wide open and receive me?